Never lose money due to market downturns. How to protect your retirement investments next on Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio with New York Times best-selling author and your host, Doug Andrew.
This is Doug Andrew speaking to you, our incredible national audience, from our three-dimensional wealth studios nestled at the base of the majestic Rocky Mountains. This show is about empowering you, people and organizations that want to optimize their assets, minimize taxes, and empower their authentic wealth. Folks, you may well know that I have a YouTube channel called Three Dimensional Wealth, where I post an answer to a specific question every single day. And recently, I posted a YouTube video answering the question that I've been asked numerous times, how do I protect my retirement investments? And I teach people and financial advisors how to never lose money due to market downturns. Now, I've been a financial strategist and retirement planning specialist for more than 46 years, and I can tell you that I have seen people who prepare for retirement. Sometimes things happen to them and they lose a lot of what they accumulated during their lifetime. Many times people have to start over in their 50s or 60s. But the biggest dangers that cause people to outlive their money does not last as long as they do. I'm going to outline right now in order, okay? Number one danger that causes people to outlive their money and therefore after their nest egg is gone, it requires that they rely on Social Security, charity, welfare, or their children for support. How sad is that? But it's really a function of most people do not want to be dependent on other people. And the number one danger or cause to that is taxes. And sometimes people don't realize, golly, why? I thought I was going to be in a lower tax bracket. In fact, some people still say, well, why? Doug, why will I be in a higher tax bracket? Now, not everybody, but I have had school teachers for years come in and they save during their lifetime. You know, they have their defined benefit pension. Most school teachers might get 2% for every year of service that they teach school. So if they teach school for 30 years, 30 years times 2% is 60% of their last best paycheck. And so they get a defined benefit pension where they may receive $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 or more a month, and it has a little cost of living increase. And they realize, golly, I can't live on 60% of the income I was earning the last 5 years that I was teaching school, because that's generally when the calculation is calculated from, is the average of the last 5 years' best salary or income. And so they sock away money in the state's 401k. They put money in 403bs. They buy tax-sheltered annuities. And this has happened numerous times where people come in, school teachers, and they have this nest egg in addition to that, and that's nice. But then when they hit retirement, they go, golly, Doug, we actually are going to continue to teach over here. It's a hobby. We love doing it or whatever. We don't need this income. And then they are convinced that they ought to continue to postpone from age 59 and a half when they can access that money without a 10% penalty. Oh, leave it there. Keep postponing. Keep deferring until you're age 70 and a half. And now that age is age 72. And then what happens at age 72? You must start withdrawing money out of your IRAs and 401ks and the like, or else there's a 50% penalty on what you should have pulled out based upon the government's life expectancy formula, which basically means if your life expectancy, let's say, simply was 20 years, you must take out 1/20th at age 72. The next year, though, if it's 19 years, you have to take out 1/19th and 1/18th, 1/17th. So you have to keep taking out more and more and more the shorter life expectancy you have, because the government wants that money out and taxed before you die, so they can tax it again when you do die. I developed this software program years ago that would show people how much they would pay in tax when they thought they were saving tax by adding up all the taxes, by deferring until they had to start taking it out, and then taking RMDs, required minimum distributions, which I think is the worst advice ever. And it strings out to both spouses' life expectancy. Then you leave it behind to your adult children. They now can't wait until they retire necessarily. They must get the money out and taxed within a 10-year period under the new rules. And so a lot of times people think they're saving tax. When we add it all up, they're flabbergasted the amount of tax they pay by stringing it out and keeping Uncle Sam as their partner with a permanent tax lien of usually a third or more forever on what that account will continue to earn. We help them do strategic rollouts, get the taxes over and done with sooner than later, drastically reducing that. I helped one husband and wife, both school teachers, take a $250,000 tax liability on their IRAs and 401ks, their 403bs, down to $60,000, down to $20,000. Then we eliminated 100%. We saved them $250,000. I saved another gentleman $750,000. One couple, $1.2 million. And so these are called strategic rollouts. The other point is this. We usually kill our tax deductions as we go because when we retire, we have usually paid off our house. We don't have that tax deduction anymore. The children are gone, or if they're not gone, if they're still living at home, you can't deduct them anymore. And we're not contributing money to IRAs and 401ks and 403bs, so you don't have that tax deduction anymore. If you're a business owner, you don't have those deductions anymore when you retire. And Congress keeps raising taxes. And with a recent bailouts and stimulus and COVID-19 type of initiatives, and then we have initiatives like Medicare for All, free college, forgiveness of student loans. Folks, the General Accountability Office says taxes will likely go to 50, 60, 70% or higher. So taxes is the number one reason why people outlive their money. Number two is inflation, the cost of living, where if inflation is 5%, the cost of living doubles about every 14.4 years. If inflation is 7.2%, it doubles every 10 years. But if you have double-digit inflation, like 10, my heavens, many medical costs and prescriptions are way more than that. So when you average everything, a 10% inflation rate will double the cost of living every 7.2 years. That means in less than 15 years, things will cost quadruple because it doubles and then that doubles again. Let's say you could get by on $5,000 a month when you retire, but if inflation is 10%, you will need $10,000 a month in 7.2 years to buy the same gallons of gas and loaves of bread that you could have bought for $5,000 about 7.5 years earlier. So in 15 years, you're going to need $20,000 a month, and in 22 years, you're going to need $40,000 a month to buy the same gallons of gas and loaves of bread. People sometimes don't believe me when I say that, but it's exactly what has happened with all kinds of things. That's what inflation does. Real estate appreciation, the cost of living goes up, which cuts the purchasing power in half every 7 to 10 years on the average. The last reason why people outlive their money is because so many people leave their money, not only in those yet-to-be-taxed IRAs or 401ks, but the money's in the market. My heavens, look at the market volatility. I believe you should have no more than 30% of your retirement income coming from investments invested in the market. You cannot create predictable retirement income. Wall Street was built to accumulate money, but not to have you sell or take it out. If you ask any broker, when is the best time to sell? Never is the answer. They cannot illustrate predictable cash flow because when the market goes up and then the market goes down, Dalbar says the average return would be 9% and 6% after paying tax if you left the money alone. But most people panic and they buy and sell at the wrong times. And so the average retiree with money in the market only averages 3.49%. That is what precipitated what is called the 4% rule in the financial services industry. If you have money in the market, you're usually not supposed to pull out more than 4% because the average is 3.5% and you will slowly deplete your nest egg, but hopefully not before your LE, life expectancy. It's called the 4% rule. If I just cut to the chase, that means $1 million nest egg at $40,000 a year will only net you $30,000 in a 25% bracket. Most asset managers charge 1% fees on that $1 million nest egg. That's another $10,000. I mean, heavens, you're pulling out $40,000. If you subtract taxes and fees, you're only netting $20,000. I can show you how you can earn 6, 7, 8%, even 10% payouts. How much more is 8 than 4? Okay? It's 100% more. It's $80,000 instead of $40,000. But if that $80,000 is tax-free, how much better is that than $20,000 after taxes and fees on an IRA or 401k invested in the market with a 4% payout?
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
Using indexing, I earned 7.23% during the Great Recession. In this segment, I'm going to discuss how you can get 6, 7, 8% rates of return, but more importantly, they are tax-free rates of return. So welcome back. This is Doug Andrew at Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. I have a YouTube channel, as I've mentioned, Three Dimensional Wealth, and I answer a specific financial question that has been asked 200, 300 times a month for the last several months. And so people have been asking, where can I get a 6 or 7% rate of return on my money? Because they realize money in the market, as it goes up, as it goes down, up and down, they're only averaging maybe 3 or 4%, just like Dalbar has studied and proven. So let me go back to the Great Recession, and this is the worst 10-year period since the Great Depression, because I like to use sort of worst-case scenarios. Now, one of my favorite vehicles where I like to put my money, where I think a retiree's income, 40 to 60% of their income, ought to come from what I call the tax-free bucket. For example, when I have met people who had $200,000 of retirement income, when they came, I would look at their situation and go, hey, that's wonderful. You've done a good job, but it's all showing up on your 1040 tax return. And they would go, well, is there a different way? And I go, yes. As a tax strategist, it would take me about 5 years to perform some strategic rollouts, repositioning where they had their money to create more predictable rates of return and convert to tax-free on a large portion. And so these people with $200,000 of income would still have that, but about $120,000 of that would disappear off their tax return. The IRS still knows they're receiving it. The IRS knows everything, but it's not taxable. It's not deemed earned passive or portfolio income. And so we essentially reduce their taxable income down to $80,000 or less after deductions and exemptions especially. And so I ended up saving them a third on $120,000 of otherwise payable taxable income. And that's about $40,000 a year. If one of the two between the husband and wife live 25 years, I save them $1 million. This has happened hundreds and hundreds of times. We've saved some people several million dollars. We took one couple from the highest tax bracket in 5 years down to a 0% tax bracket, which they've now been enjoying for more than 5 years. They have $8 million tax-free in that bucket, generating about $800,000 a year, a 10% payout. They don't even need that money, so they just leave it there to grow in actuality. They only take out about $300,000 a year tax-free. They don't even have to file a tax return if that is their only income. So they're in a 0% tax bracket. Now, we can't do that for everybody. But let's go back to this worst decade, 2000 to 2010. In fact, I may extend it 2 years to 2012 to prove my point. A lot of people in America save their entire lifetimes, and by the year 2000, let's say they had $1 million nest egg in yet-to-be-taxed IRAs or 401ks, but the problem was the money was in the market. We saw in America after the terrorist attacks of 9/11, September 11th, 2001, most people's nest eggs dropped down 2001, 2002, 2003 by 40%. They saw that million-dollar nest egg dwindle down to about 600,000. Some lost more than that. It took 4 years to make back what they lost. Because when you have a 40% loss, it has to be followed by a 67% gain. See, if a million goes down to 600,000, 600,000 has to have a 400,000 increase, which is a 67% increase. If you have a 50% loss, it has to be followed by a 100% gain to get back to break even. You wouldn't believe how many financial advisors don't understand that concept. And so a lot of people back in 2001, 2003, they felt like they had lost their future. They had to put off retirement 7 years. Finally, in 2007, they were back to their break-even million. And they thought, okay, now we can finally retire. And what happened in 2008? As Warren Buffett put it, he said, when the tide went out, it revealed who was swimming naked. There were a lot of people that still had their money in the market, and they were exposed, okay? And so in one single year, due to the mortgage meltdown and so forth, that million-dollar nest egg dwindled down to 600,000 again. It took 4 more years to come back to the $1 million that happened in 2012. Not until the end for most people. Now, what happened to the people that we were helping with my favorite strategy, indexing, by maximum funding a tax-advantaged insurance contract and taking the least amount of insurance you can get away with and putting in the most money? Do you know that during that decade, 2000 to 2010, if you had fallen asleep like Rip Van Winkle, your $1 million during that worst decade, you would not have lost money during the 5 years. See, most decades you have 7 up years compared to 3 down years. That decade, there were 5 lost years, 2001, 2003, 2007, 2008. They would have not lost money during those 5 years, and they would not have made any money. But the other 5 years, they would have made money up to a cap. And only 2 years would they have capped out, let's say, at 15%. The caps during most of those years were actually 16 and 17%. Do you know that you would have earned 7.23% in the worst decade since the Great Depression? If you understand rule of 72 math, you divide 7.2 into 72, your money will double in 10 years. So people using indexing, waking up, if they had fallen asleep, what happened while I was asleep for 10 years? Oh, you never heard about 9/11? No. Isn't that the number you call when there's an emergency? Oh, this was a major emergency. Yeah. Well, what about 2008? You don't know about the mortgage meltdown? No, what was that? And you go and you scramble and you look at your account and you have doubled your money to $2 million. But everybody else in America still has only the $1 million they started with. And inflation has eroded away part of that. But folks, do you know by 2012, people using indexing and by simply rebalancing every couple of years or so, they tripled their money. The million was worth $3 million when most Americans were finally back to break even, because at the end of 2010, a lot of people still only had about $620,000. It took till 2012 to get back up to $1 million. People using indexing, which is what we teach in our various educational webinars and seminars, they tripled their money tax-free. So if you want to learn how to do this, if you want to understand how to get 6 or 7% or even 8 and 9 and 10%, there are some people this year that are on track to lock in 33%. Sure, there's years like 2017 where many of our clients locked in gains of 16% and 25%. And if the next year the market had dropped 40%, they would not have lost the 16% or the 25% they made the year before. This is called lock in and reset. I recently posted a YouTube and I was showing indexing, and some guy comes on and says, how come you're showing this 30-year history and you don't show any years where you're losing when the market loses? Because you don't lose. Your money's not invested in the market. Some people have a hard time understanding this. They think I'm talking about index mutual funds. No, I'm talking about indexing. Your money is safe, and you're simply linking your returns to an index. The insurance institution takes the interest on your money and buys upside options. If those options expire worthless, then you don't lose your principal. You don't make anything, but you don't lose. If you use that strategy, I have increased my rates of return over the last 30, 35 years from 7% up to 9.6% by doing this. Now, I can't predict what you will achieve in the future because interest rates are relative. When interest rates are high for earning, they're high for borrowing. When they're low for borrowing, they're low for earning. But you'll come out ahead because you can link your returns to the things that inflate and stay ahead of inflation. This is so critical. You want to make sure that you can get predictable rates of return and use indexing and rebalancing.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.